Yeah, live the culture anthem.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, live the culture anthem. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Ejo Side Kenty, man, with Flip the Culture Podcast, where the culture won't change until we do. I got a very special guest, man. I ain't even gonna say we grew up together because some folk be lying, you know what I'm saying? But we worked out together through modern day fitness, just growing up. Inside of high school, I think that's when we met.
Yeah,
he was at Parker, bro.
I was at Parker. Was at
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Hey, chill out. You are too, bro.
Hey, man.
We got Ladarius Jackson in the building, y'all. So, look, since you already brought it up, you know what I'm saying, MDF Hall of Famer, bro. And we got some heavy hitters inside that program, bro.
For sure.
Even coming up after us, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So, with that recognition, what does that represent of your career? And what does that represent you as an individual?
Man, it felt good to get my flowers. Because, like, man, you know my journey. You know I've been through a lot, dog.
Yeah.
Like, you know, man, going to different schools, going to different colleges, man, being a high school, man, and always, you know, trying to be first, always trying to be a leader, and always trying to work my hardest, man, it felt good to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
It felt good to, like, have my family there, to have my fiancé there,
yeah,
and to give them something to be proud of.
Because,
like, you know, we always tell our war stories now. Like, I was five back in the day. Like, you know, man, I was good, I was strong, I worked out. But, like, man, but once you get that notoriety and that recognition, because we don't do it for that.
Yeah.
But it do feel good to get it, though.
Man, let's talk about, because, I mean, it wasn't, the people that's watching this probably wasn't there to hear your speech. But I want you to tell about the story about how you were able to get to practice on some days before you were able to get transportation.
Oh, yeah, no, for real, man. I had no car, dog. Like, you know, single father. My dad worked in construction. Like, you know, construction 24/7, so sometimes he had the house, sometimes he not.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, man, I was so determined to get to workouts because I always wanted an extra edge in training. Dog, I caught two buses just to be late.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the 18 Fahrenheit bus from Parker to Central Station, and I caught the bus 280 to get dropped off at that Chipotle right there.
Yeah.
And then I had to walk like another 40 minutes.
Uphill. Yeah.
To get to the workout just to get cussed out by Otis, man.
Yeah.
For being
late.
And then
get punishment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm like, you know what I'm going through right now, dog. But, no, man, it's just that will, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, wanting to be different. Like, you know, and as a kid, you don't totally understand it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, God, like, please, I hope my actions make sense. I hope I'm investing my time right, and I hope I can get something from it. Like, man, I don't have no regrets.
So, you know, I'm never the type to talk down this current generation.
For sure.
What I will say is it's different, right? The drive, the being able to look at what's in front of you and looking at what's on the other side of it and say, I want that more than I want to submit to what problem is in front of me, right? So what type of drive and what type of mindset did you have to embody that you can communicate to some of these younger cats to be like, hey, man, like, you got to either want it or you don't?
Man, that's hard because we're in a microwave generation.
Mm.
We're in the information age.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, with NIL out here and everything, man, they just see what's on the other side. They don't see, like, going through the fire or the discipline to get to that.
Yeah.
They just see A to Z. They don't see A, B, C, D, like, going through the process. So it'd be hard. But if I had to give any advice to the younger generation on what they need to do to try to be successful and to try to get to the other side, man, is definitely be patient. Just be patient, continue to work, continue to develop.
Yeah.
Man, focus on your skill and not the money. Because you get paid for your skill.
Yeah.
And a lot of people out there getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
But as you develop your skill, man, you develop your talent, you'll get paid for it. So it's all about, you know, honing in, developing your skills, but that comes back to working to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, you got to work for really what you want.
Right. So you founded Elite Suite.
Yeah, founded Elite Suite, man. You know, Elite Suite, Elite Builders Group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So, and I'm glad you said that because you talked about skill sets.
Definitely.
Right? So you went to college, you got your master's, also your bachelor's, right? So now you're going into that entrepreneur space. Like, you're able to create revenue for people that work for you.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And you're creating opportunities for better quality of life for the people that you provide inside that community. So two things. I want you to explain what Elite Suite is. And then also, what got you into that space of just providing for the community?
Yeah, man. So Elite Suite is a construction company, man. Like, you know, we have several companies, but Elite Suite is the, you know, it's the bread and butter that went then started the other investments. Like, you know, so I'm a licensed builder for the state of Alabama and for the federal government. But man, Elite Suite is a construction company that work with hedge funds. Like, you know, we have clients from Miami, from Arizona, from New York to New Jersey. And, like, you know, we do residential hedge funds construction. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I never wanted to be, like, you know, a retail, like, you know, construction guy because you'll be chasing clients. Mm. Because I always wanted equity and I always wanted, like, you know, consistent work.
Yeah.
So I went out to the hedge fund space. Big companies, $50 million companies, $100 million companies, and they buying houses in volume. Mm-hmm. So when they came to me, it'd be like, we'll give you 3 houses at a time, 5 houses at a time. So I knew I can build a team off that. It's hard to build a team off one house.
Yeah.
Or just one project, because you'll never be able to, you'll be chasing, like, I bet, how am I going to get the next job? Mm-hmm. Your bill come every 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. I got to build something that can sustain the test of time. And I found that through, you know, hedge funds. Like, my first company, who I got my first contract with, was Spartan Investments. And they have, like, over 2,000 houses in the state of Alabama. Mm. So, like, that was my first contract. And I ain't going to lie, I wasn't ready.
How you knew you weren't ready?
I bet. So, so what I did, man, just like how we was football players, we sent out our film.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, either we hire somebody or we sent out our film, like, yeah. You know, ourselves, man. So, like, you know, I created a template. Put the services we had on there, and I sent it out to different companies.
Mm.
The number one company in the state of Alabama hit me back. They said, hey, we want to interview you. We want to see what you got. So I went in there, sat down with them, told them what we did, told them what we had. I was lying. Mm. I didn't have that much equipment.
Wow.
I didn't have that much team. It was me and some, you know, I had a couple subs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they was like, okay, man, it's perfect. Everything checks out. Can we start you off with, like, 20 houses a month? I was like, I don't want to do that. Let's start like with the first 2 to 3, and let's go from there. I said, then after you see our process, and then we'll be ready to take on the risk.
Mm.
But yeah, man, construction and real estate changed my life.
Let's not skate over that. So, like, you know, you found out you weren't ready, right?
For sure.
So what steps did you take to get ready?
Man, work while being scared. Work about being nervous, man. So things that I knew how to do, and then I learned quick as a business owner, man, to find people who specialize in things that you're not good at,
mm-hmm.
and then love on them. Like, so I was very good, like, you know, man, painting, framing, but I knew, like, the business couldn't grow if I was doing that. It's like owning a restaurant. I can't wait the table, cook the food, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And pick up the bill. Yeah. So, like, you know, man, it's all about diversifying and having different systems in place. But, yeah, man, I knew I wasn't ready when I was like, man, I was literally framing a house. And then these people tell me, hey, we just bought another 2 houses. We bought 3 more houses. We need you.
Mm.
And you knocked out these other houses for us, man. We need you to keep going. I'm just like, bro, I am not ready, man. Like, these people's trying to give me all this volume, mm-hmm. and I just don't have the manpower for it.
Yeah.
So I stopped thinking in the fact of, man, let me just stop trying to hire employees. Let me just hire subs. Let me get people who have their own companies that take care of their own payroll. Because if you have employees, some people going to do what they want to do and some people going to ride the clock.
Yeah.
So, man, it was days that, like, you know, and, man, business is personal. I ain't going to lie here and say, like, you know, it ain't personal. Because, like, man, if you around here giving, like, maybe somebody got their check every Friday, and they ain't doing what they need to do, but you paying them,
mm-hmm.
oh, dog, it's going to hurt your feelings, dog.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, I'm doing everything. If you knew what I was doing to make sure that I got this money in this account to pay you.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody's not going to appreciate it. And, like, you know, man, so, and my feelings was getting hurt. I was getting too involved in it because I'm helping people get trucks, helping people get insurance. Like, man, some people didn't even have health insurance until they met me. Wow. Until they start working with me. But, yeah, man, just, I realized, like, all right, this ain't going to work. What I need to do? Boom. I need to get some subs, people that got their own trucks, people that got their own insurance, and people who really take pride in their work.
Mm-hmm.
And you make less of money, but you gain more time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as an entrepreneur, man, time is everything. We can't get that back. So if you can buy that, go ahead and buy it.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, okay, big. I met, like, 3 contractors that got their own teams. I can put these 3 contractors on these 3 houses, and I can just go check on them 3 houses.
Yeah.
And my time freed up.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to make sure the money good.
Yeah.
So.
That's smooth, yeah, bro.
For sure.
Dang, that's smooth. Like, you went from being the quarterback to being the head coach.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah.
And then people wonder why the owners make so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they orchestrating everything. There's a lot of behind the scenes that happens that people don't see that happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of deal being made, a lot of transactions, and a lot of brain power. But, like, man, when you find people that really love what they do, love on them. Love on them, man, because they're going to take you farther. You can take yourself. People will work harder for you than you work for yourself.
Wow, bro.
For sure.
Yeah. Ah, Jack. Man, so with you being the mentor, with you being the leader, right, how do you take care of you to make sure that you show up every single day the right way, how people want to remember you?
This might sound crazy, but I learned how to turn it off and I learned how to ignore. Mm. Because, man, if your mind, as a business owner, bro, as an entrepreneur, like, your mind is constantly going. Money, meetings, other people's feelings and emotions in the in your company, trying to keep everything together because you're the glue. Mm-hmm. It get to a certain point in time that I quit every day. Mm. I quit every day. Because if your mind constantly goes, you ain't going to get drained out, man. Mm-hmm. You're going to get drained out. You're going to be mentally inhabitable. And you're not going to be good. You'll show up every day, and, like, you'll be eager and angry. Like, you won't be at peace with yourself. So it get to a point in time, hey, bro, turn this phone off, do not disturb, and, like, call me 2-3 times, send me a text, if it's an emergency. But if I can just see and be like, for real, like, if I can just look at my phone, like, my phone going off right now, people FaceTime me, like, people at Home Depot right now. Mm-hmm. But it get to a certain point in time, I bet, but I got to quit for the day. Let my mind rest, because I got to refresh and take care of myself so I can be better for them.
Yeah.
Because if I ain't together, ain't none of this together. So, like, it might sound crazy, but I had to learn how to ignore, and I had to learn how to quit every day. That's like, good. A coach that we shared together taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Denmark.
Man, it wasn't that coach that told me this, though. It was a coach at Murray State, bro. Okay. That man said, hey, we got some folks that's just a piece of flesh out here. Just a warm body.
Wow.
They just taking up space. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang, bro. Like that, bro. when you think about it, though, bro, it just be people that just flesh walking out here, bro. Mm-hmm. Like a spirit and body and a body and ain't no value. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So, like, I appreciate
dead. The walking dead. Bro, like, no lie, bro. I was at a grocery store, dog, and they had a chick I went to school with. She told me, she said, you look good for your age. And I said, what you mean? I said, we went to school together.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, but you got a lot of stuff going on. Like, my life over with.
Damn, bro.
And I was like 25 at the time, bro. Mm. And she like, and when I heard that, like, my spirit was so hurt. Because, like, she grown. She done grew as much as she can grow. Like, that's it. And then you know how it is in Birmingham, man. She going to Atlanta herself to death. She going to probably hit New Orleans a little bit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Might go to Houston. Oh, no. But, like, that's it. Like, they can't dream further than that. And it's sad, bro. They're the walking dead, bro.
Dang, bro. Mm. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, so with sports performance to business strategy, what leadership lessons have you translated most clearly? And what new ones have you had to embody?
That it's hard, but it's okay. Like, you know, nothing comes easy. Like, man, just like in football, man. Like, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But you're going to want to make sure you're going to win more than you lose.
Yeah.
Every day is going to be a different challenge. And then, man, having a sense of urgency, like, a lot of people don't have that in the world today. Like, a lot of people are content and lazy. Having a sense of urgency, bro, like, okay, like, sudden change, like, catching the sense, sudden change. You got to get the blocking, I got to get the moving, we got to get the going. Or, like, say, for instance, like, it's a fast-paced offense, like, they running no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ain't got time to be looking for the play, I got to hear and I got to get down. But, like, that man, that definitely helped me, man, like, transferring net, the sense of urgency for football, to having a sense of urgency to the business. Because, like, say for instance, like, say if I have an insurance job, right? And then they call me, the insurance company, like, hey, Jack, the roof that ripped out this lady's house. I need somebody to get over there and tarp it. What do I be like? Oh, yeah, we're going to get over there. We'll be over there.
Yeah.
Then you got live wires. If I don't have no sense of urgency, that lady's house can catch on fire.
Yeah.
But stuff like that happen. Because people had that mentality, I get that when I can.
Bro, something that you said about a sense of urgency, right? It was it wasn't even a coach, but I was going through the through some process, and the instructor had said, "Hey, I want you to be in a hurry, but not in a rush."
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Rushing is where mistakes happen. In a hurry is the sense of urgency that you're talking about. So, like, I want people to understand, like, you're not talking about, hey, I want you to just rush through everything then you're just checking off a box. Okay, this done, and there's no intentionality there. But when there is a sense of urgency, you have a place that you got to be by a certain time to finish a certain project. So I appreciate that.
It's like, okay, it's like I'll give you two different things. It's like, it's called control chaos. Like, a lot of stuff might be going on, but you got to stay calm in the process.
Yeah.
And then a mentor of mine named Scott Long, he taught me the difference between being a fireman and a firefighter.
Oh, yeah, you got to go in detail about that.
All right, okay, so a firefighter, what they do? They get off their truck, they kick down that door, they're running guns ablaze and trying to grab kids, spin it out. But you know the reason why they can move like that?
Why?
That, like, you know, the fire chief. So I got it wrong. It wasn't the fireman, the firefighter. It was the fire chief. And the firefighter.
Okay.
So the so the fire chief, he's already, he done already talked to somebody, okay, what side of the building they caught on fire? Okay, where's the nearest fire hydrant? Like, he's already planning everything out. So when this man running there, he can save that victim and save himself.
Wow.
So, like, bro, it's all control chaos. So, you know, sense of urgency. But at the same time, know what's going on in the moment.
So, I got a TED Talk coming up. And
congrats,
I'm talking
too,
about, man,
doing a lot,
appreciate
man.
It, bro.
Hey, for sure.
Like I told you before we got in here, bro, I was asleep, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, eyes bloodshot red, bro. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like that sense of urgency. It's like, bro, it's literally people losing their life over not knowing what to do after the transition out of sports, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, bro, I don't have the luxury to stay asleep because folks like us, we figured it out, but the jump wasn't pretty. So I'm like, it ain't ever going to be pretty. And that's the realness of it. Like, that it's a very uncomfortable position to be in after you've been playing a sport and built a relationship with this thing for, like, 20 years of your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, it ain't no pretty process. Yeah. But I think the knowledge of going into it, knowing it's not going to be pretty, knowing it's not something that's going to last forever, having a plan and not a plan B, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't believe in that jump, bro.
I'm knee-deep. Like, I'm knee-deep in what I do, man. I'm knee-deep. Like... like, it ain't no, if this don't happen,
bruh,
you know, I got this, I'm going to fall back on this.
Facts.
So, nah, man, like, I definitely get it. Like, you know, like I said, with the construction, like, with the real estate, man, like I got other investments, but, like, this is the bread and butter that fund that.
Yeah.
I'm knee-deep. Like, it ain't no, like, dog, my pastor always told me, he said, God done brought you too far to turn his back on you and your business. So, my pastor do all my concrete and foundation work and my clan work. So, like, real talk. It would be times, man, I'm like, man, pastor, dog. I be real with him. I'm like, man, I be wanting to just get this up sometime. It be so much headache, a lot of money out. He was like, man, Jack, you done came too far in business for God to turn his back on you. And then blessings to happen. Like, I want to stick in this one.
For sure. I had a conversation like that with my older sister, man. I was like, man, sis, I was in college. And I was like, man, sis, I'm done with this, man. She's like, all right, bet, quit. I said,
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay, you telling me to quit? I'm like, man, what we having this conversation for? But she knew me. She know I ain't going to quit. She's like, why they even come out your mouth then, son? You know what I'm saying? So it was like that inner dog inside of me was triggered because I'm like, dang, quitting really not an option. Like, once I saw that, quitting was presented in front of me, and I saw what that would happen, and I know, bro. So my question with the psychology between your separation from the game, but still allowing it to travel through you, right? Like, every time your heart beat, it's like, dang, this same emotion I had in football, I'm reminded of this every single day I go through this, right? How did you get to that point where it was no longer a pain to think about your journey?
Becoming something, like, you know, man, because in football, like, you know, you always want to be the best player, and you want to put on for your school, like, if it's college or if it's high school, but just in business, man, and just in life, just in general, like, take business out of that, but just, like, say if you have a job, a 9-to-5, man, you're representing your name.
Yeah.
So that same fire, like, I had, like, you know, in football, I just apply to this because, like, I'm representing my name. I'm representing my business. Like, you know, I take care of a lot of people, and I'm responsible for a lot of people. And I ain't gonna lie, it was hard, bro, to really transition in football, bro, from football to this, bro. It was really hard because you got to think about it. For 18 to 20 years, you learn how to play a game.
Facts.
You learn how to play a sport, and that's your skill set. Catch, tackle, kick, run.
You couldn't catch though, bro.
No, for sure. I can hit though, you know what I'm saying? But man, it's hard to transition. Cause I'll tell you this, bro, cause like I got my master's at Tennessee State University. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I ever told nobody this story. But I'm gonna tell you, dog. Okay. The only people that know this story is the people who I've been about. Mm-hmm. So coming from Tennessee State, I had one more year left to play and I didn't play it. I had a lot of family stuff going on. I ain't gonna get into that. But I knew for me, I wanted to get into this business because I went straight from college to straight to construction and real estate, bro.
Right.
And I said, I have some connections in Nashville, but I have a lot of family and connections back in Alabama. I gotta move back home. But when I moved back home, bro, it was different from like living in Nashville. Nashville's beautiful.
Yeah.
Nash Vegas, bro. Mm-hmm. Coming back where I'm from, Found Heights, going back to my daddy's house, laying my head on the pillow.
Yeah.
And like, I'm chilling in the house, talking to my cousin. And I'm like, damn, hold on. My cousin, he got a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
He got this going on.
Yeah.
He got this. And I realized, like, I can be subject to whatever going on right now in this situation. This is like the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, this can happen right here.
Yeah.
So, like, bro, it was kind of like, you know, I was scared to be back because I'm like, this is my support system, and I'm trying to build this business. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, I might got to move back. Like, so it was like, I might move back, play football. It was like I was kind of scared to grow out of that. Mm-hmm. Football was my crutch. I was really scared to grow up.
Yeah.
I was really scared, dog. But I came back here, started a business, just put my head down, and because – it wasn't no other way because I was like, man, I got to go do this. I can't go back and play football. Like, I got to make this work. I don't care how hard it is. I got to make this work. And I kind of resented football in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just started back watching football like about 3-4 years ago.
Same, bro.
For sure. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch it, man. It was too much to fathom.
Because
how much you love the game, and then you realize, like, bro, like, did the game really love me how I loved it? Mm-hmm. Like, did I use the game how the game really used me?
Yeah.
But then I had to count my blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Got my degree. Got relationships that I still use to this day. I still got great brothers and teammates that I still talk to this day. So, man, like, you know, football and sports in general, man, like, you know, it had its ups and downs. But I got more good out of it than bad.
Mm-hmm.
Taught me a lot of life lessons. That I still apply to this day. But one thing I hate about it, I always, like, when I watch football now, I be like, dang, I could have did more. Never satisfied. And I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that, bro. Mm. But nah.
Yeah, bro. I appreciate you even sharing that story, bro, because, I mean, that's your testimony. I ain't even going to say story.
For sure.
It's testimony because you navigated through it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of dudes out here, bro, they got stories. That barbershop talk. Be like, okay, why did you just tell me that?
Yeah.
Like, what do I gain from that? So I appreciate you for sharing that because when I thought about that, like, when you were inside of your, inside of Fountain Heights, like, you chilling, right? It's like, nah, bro, like, this is your league. Like, Elite Sweep is your league, bro. That's your NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you still have to separate in order to get something that your family appreciates, but they've never experienced it.
And I
realized that sometimes there's a place that God is trying to get you to navigate to, and the people that you're trying to, or the legacy you're trying to leave behind for these people, they might stop you from getting there if they come with you in those spaces.
And you want to take them with you.
And you want to.
But you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. And I ain't going to lie, man. And not only was it hard to transition because, like, you know, man, you go from being in college.
Mm-hmm.
Safe environment. Like, you know. I'm just saying, like, for real. Like, safe environment.
Bro. Yeah.
Like, you know, people trying to help you get jobs. Mm-hmm. It's connections. Back to the gutter.
Yeah.
Like, bro, it was hard for me to, like, oh, hold on. Like, I've been, my life been over here for the last past 4-5 years, and I'm back over here in this.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the second most important part, dog, that's hard for athletes to transition, especially football players, is being embarrassed.
Because
most football players, but like, you play DB, bro. You a tall DB.
Mm-hmm.
I play D, and I'm a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, you go from being in the paper to going to college, playing on ESPN, then come back to your city, they looking at you like,
what you doing here?
What you doing here?
Yeah.
Bro, you ain't no better than me.
Yeah, facts.
I'm like, hold on, bro. Like, chill out. And then, like, like certain fights can start over that.
Yeah.
Like for real, then you always have these people that try to come back and talk to you. Mm-hmm. And you know I'm better than you in Little League.
Yeah.
I'm better than you in middle school. Like for real, bro. I'm like, yeah, bro. We grown. You still yeah. talking about this, but you got bills, but you talking about this.
Still got hood highlights in your bio.
Yeah. I'm talking about what like every month, hey, drop a pick if you're
yeah.
five. You know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
no, man. It was like that's that was very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And then like I had teammates, like I was fortunate like to go straight into business, but I had teammates that was all Americans came back here and worked at like furniture companies. Mm. So imagine going from being all American, now you lifting beds, you lifting dressers, and then people see you like, hey, bro, thought you were supposed to make it.
Yep.
And then they just stay talking about you. Yep. It's hard to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to let that go. Because you feel like, I ain't done no in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really seeps into your head, bro. I really ain't done nothing.
Yeah.
And it lead to certain ways to try to catch that back, you know, to try to get that fame back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not good, man. Like, you know, everybody goes through things. Some people gonna make it. Some people not gonna make it. But man, you gotta just be happy with what you did.
Yeah.
Like I'm happy with my career. Mm. Like I'm happy for how far I got. Because statistically, from where we from, we weren't supposed to go that far.
Yeah.
And man, like to meet people like you, and like to have like an organization like NDF, and just like have my old teammates at South Florida and at Tennessee State, man. Like. Even when ball stopped, you had that camaraderie. You still had those stories. You still had those, hey, I skipped class to go do this. You feel me? Like, it just, it's always great to talk about that, like at any homecoming. Mm-hmm. Or like when you see like them starting to have children.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Like, man, I remember we used to do all this, but like, now look at you, now you got a family. Like, I'm like, hey, but I could have never seen you doing this.
Yeah.
But not, but then you see the growth. So that's the beautiful side of it. Then you see some people. Like, they play in sports, they can't transition, they go to selling drugs.
Yeah.
Like, bro, death is real. Wow. Jail is real. I got teammates that couldn't transition. Jail.
Yeah, bro.
Like, probably facing life.
Mm-hmm.
I got teammates out here selling drugs. And that's either going to lead to death or jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, man, for God to help us make a way out.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I'm thankful for it.
Man, I appreciate you saying that, man. Like, even the camaraderie. Because just like you said, about 3 years ago, you started watching the game again.
Yeah.
Like, the way I left the game, which I don't have any regrets, but there was always, like, a piece of resentment for the hurt I endured leaving the game for the university.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I man, matter of fact, I think I'm going to go to homecoming this year, bro.
Go, man.
I think I'm going
to
go, bro.
You need to go,
man. You know
what
I'm saying?
Because it's not even about the game.
Yeah,
it's about, man, like, okay, who I'd have met here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, man, it could be, and you don't know who can help take you to another level, or you can take to another level.
Yeah.
And like, man, cause like the relationships are bigger than the game.
Yeah.
The game gonna stop for everybody. I don't care if you're Tom Brady play 20, 30 years, or like, you know, somebody that play 1 year. Some people that don't make it to that other part of the league, man. Mm-hmm. But those relationships are gonna last forever.
Yeah.
Because time is always gonna catch up, right? Like, so, like, now, like, you know, like, say for me, like, I ain't playing the league. I played in college, played at two different colleges, have a business. A friend of ours, Michael Jackson, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he played for Charlotte. Anytime Mike in the city, hey, Jack, bro, let me see some of your projects, bro.
Yeah.
Let me see some of your apartments, see some of your houses.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can get money on that level.
Yeah.
So, like, that relationship that the game, that helped me gain,
mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Like, but he got to be the best football player he can be because that's his occupation.
Right.
I got to be the best builder and real estate investor I can be because that's my occupation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nah, man, like I said, the game is going to – has blessed me like with a lot of relationships and a lot of other factors. It also it took from me.
Mm-hmm.
The game, it took a lot from me.
Yeah.
But, man, you got to just count your blessings and be happy with the game.
Man, it's beautiful, bro. Is there anything that Flip the Culture community or even the TEDx – Alabaster community can do to support Elite Suite? Like, how, if somebody wanted to use your services for anything or they know about some properties and stuff like that, like, how can we support what you have going on?
Oh, yeah, man, definitely, man. Like, I'm buying. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm buying, man. So, like, I'm transitioning my career. Like, I'm getting out of the flip game.
Okay.
Like, you know, man, like I said, like we were talking before off camera, like, the real estate market, man, is definitely oversaturated. The flip game is oversaturated. Like, you know, man, if anybody have any lots,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, man, preferably in the areas, we'll say Pinson, Trustville, Alabaster, we'll do some Hoover, we'll do some Caleri, we'll do some Childersburg. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we'll do a little Trustville. Like, you know, man, y'all have any acre lots, anything from 1 acre to 4 acres.
So is this just like Alabama, or do you do any business?
We do business in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Louisiana. Okay. I don't want to get the name in all them cities.
You know what I'm saying? But the South, though.
Oh, but the South. Anything in the Southeast, I'm touching. Anything in the Southeast, I'm touching, man. They got any lots, like any really real estate deals, bring them to me.
Yeah. Bet. Is there anything else that you want to share with the people about just what you do, or any last words of encouragement?
My last words, bro, I want to just say thank you. To you as a man, because you extended your platform to me. Like, it ain't about the business. If they send me properties, I'm cool, whatever. Yeah. Man, I'm going to be straight for sure. But, man, just being here with you, being on your platform, man, and being able to release. Mm-hmm. Because as men, especially as men and as people, man, like, we hold so much in. And I'm still healing. Yeah. I'm still healing from not getting to the league, bro, mm-hmm. and not playing the game, because you put so much in.
Yeah.
It's so much dedicated effort. You wake up, and every day you try to be the best at that, mm-hmm. and it just stop.
Yeah.
When football stops, it stop. Mm-hmm. It ain't no, I'm going to work my way back into it. Like, I ain't finna be one of these players, you know, 37 U. Mm-hmm. I ain't finna be like,
I ain't gonna lie, I thought about it, bro. Nah, I thought about it. They be mic'd up and everything.
Bro, I'm not, bro. Like, nah, dog. Like, I'm not finna be like, you know, the arena league. Like, man, my homeboy, NFL agent, bro, like, you know, he signed 8 people, and like, you know, none of his people went drafted this year. He got some first rounders coming next year. But the people last year, he was like, yeah, man, I'm gonna help him get with the CFL. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna help him get, like, you know, with the arena league. That's how much the arena league paying. $500 a week. Oh, I can't do nothing with that, boy.
No insurance.
But no, it's about $500 a week. But I can't do nothing with that, boy.
Yeah.
Man, they talking about, you know, the CFL. Cool. I'm like, what, they probably making like 60 to 80. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know the numbers.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, you, and then like, even with the USFL, what, they mm-hmm. making like 60 to 80, but no insurance? Bro, like I told you, plumbers making $100,000 a year. Electricians. I'm talking about not even owning their company. I'm talking about, man, you get... Like, man, you get your journeyman license, man, go be an electrician, man, you make anywhere from 80 to 100 with insurance. Mm. Or you can go just go be a lineman.
Yeah.
At Alabama Power, they're paying $120,000
a year. Not a lineman hand in the dirt.
Not a lineman hand in the dirt.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
lineman,
yeah.
Like, you know, but man.
Alabama Power got a football team?
Nah. Nah, dog. But I'm like, nah, man, like, I support it. I just can't do it, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be hard for me to know that I play, like, you know, you played on the Division I level. Mm-hmm. Man, and to go from the Division I level to go play against Lil Ray right now?
Yeah.
Nah, dog. Yeah. I support him, man. Y'all got it.
Like, bro, I ain't gonna lie. I be watching some of the, it's very entertaining, though, bro.
Oh, for sure.
Some of you, I be like, man, somebody finna pull a gun out of their drawers, bro. Like, I'm for real, bro. Got to, like, shank somebody at the bottom of the pile or something, bro. Like, I do respect about, like, cats that's still out there doing it is because it's literally for the love of the game, bro. I can't think of any other, you know what I'm saying? It's the love, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's just when it is time for them to truly transition.
Yeah.
I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, man, you're really doing God's work, man, whether you know it or not, man. You're giving people an outlet to visit you and talk to you, man, and you leading people to the promised land of being fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog, you might not like it, but that's what, you know, that's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Died for our sins.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, man, and gave us salvation. Mm-hmm. And man, like, you know, and Jesus brought us closer to our Father God, man. Yeah. And, like, and I ain't trying to call you Jesus, bro, but, like, the work you're doing is very deep. Mm-hmm. It's very psychological.
Yeah.
Like, because they did a study at the University of South Florida, dog, when I was there with my professor. And like I said, bro, 50% of student athletes commit suicide 5 years removed from college. They cannot transition. Like, suicide is real. Because it's like, what's next? Especially, like, you know, like, fortunately, like, especially like women's sports are better because they actually taking their degree serious. Mm-hmm. Think about it, bro. You got 80 people on the football team. 60 people got criminal justice. So we finna have 60 police officers.
That was my degree, bro.
Oh, for real? I ain't trying my bad, bro.
No, you get it's real. Truth. It's real. Either that or sports psychology or some junk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah.
You got things about, oh, yeah, bro, I want to be in sports medicine, so you want to feed, bro. Like, ain't nothing wrong with it. They make bread.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, not a lot of us Like, that's one of the degrees football players lie about. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to get my sports science degree, sports medication degree, whatever. Mm-hmm. They ain't going to go do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, man, they're going to either probably, you know, do communications, like criminal justice. But, like, you know, man, they get out of college, don't know what they're doing, they're mm-hmm. floating. And then in that float time, man, they still, they lying. Oh, yeah, bro, you know, I'm contemplating on going back and playing. Bro, no,
yeah.
you're not.
Yeah.
But it's like, who can you vent to? Who can you talk to? Like, at first, your teammates are there. Mm-hmm. Then life happens. Everybody goes. Yeah, everybody spreads and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. Bro, like, it really need to be a helpline for this.
Yeah.
Because, like, bro, like, it have been times, like, I never committed, no, not thought about committing suicide, but mm-hmm. it been times I've been thinking, like, bro, like, what I'm going to do? Like, you know how I feel to go from living in Tampa, Florida,
yeah,
Nashville, Tennessee, to going back, mm-hmm. 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, 5 people living in here?
Yeah.
I said, I got to get up out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, man, you're subject to you, the product of your environment.
Yeah.
And it scared me. I said, I got to get out of here. I got to find something to do. Mm-hmm. I got to do it fast.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, my granddaddy did construction, my dad did construction. I'm like, I got to go to this. And I started that, man, got my license and took it from there. Mm-hmm. But nah, man, you really doing a lot for people, man. Whether yeah. you know it or not, I know you know it. Mm-hmm. But man, like, you really healing people, dog.
Yeah. I appreciate that, bro. And I appreciate you for being available, like, to share your story, man, because I know how impactful it is. Even the story I didn't know about just the Tennessee State situation, you know what I'm saying? Bro. Like, that transition, like...
I was afraid. Mm. Yeah. Bro.
I mean, like, bro, and we don't talk about that. As big as we... Like, we not the average human. You're bigger than me, you know what I'm saying? Sure. But, like, to hear that level of vulnerability and then still seeing you... Like, standing 10 toes down behind what you said and saying, hey, I'm straight now, though. You know what I'm saying? Good, that, yeah. There is a component of fear that I think is necessary inside the journey that we go down. Because it's like, you got to be able to consider fear in order to say, like, this is how I want to live my life out of being yeah. bold.
But being, you see what I'm saying? Just being afraid and just being fearful, bro, is just another word for, and I like the word of being aware. Mm. I'm aware of what's going on. I'm aware of my surroundings.
Yeah.
So, like, when I got home, like, I was afraid, but this is another word. Hey, bro, I was aware. I'm aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because people who fail to be aware, stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Product of your environment, wrong place at the wrong time, you might die. And it's real, bro. Like, we living in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Birmingham has a lot of great things going on, but we still have to be aware of what's yeah. going on in these inner city communities. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, it's getting better. But, like, you know, man, with this younger generation, like, you know, it's even more ruthless in certain areas.
Yeah.
So, man, it's just like being aware.
And I think I am a part of a men's cohort. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? We talk about different things. And we got the code where we're not going to share anything outside of that cohort. But that some of the things that we have, some of the topics that we've talked about is the access that we have on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, let's say you grew up around a certain environment, because, I mean, I grew up in Center Point, mm-hmm. went to Ramsey, mm-hmm. right? Ramsey, got folks from Inslee, got folks from Hoover, got yeah. folks from Northside area, right? Sure. So we're all inside this clumped up, and after we get done with Ramsey, we go back to our own silos and our own communities. Mm-hmm. Go to parties, you mm-hmm. expose the gunshots and fights and all that type of stuff, right? But to be removed from that environment, go out for 4 years, get exposed to life. After that, not a smooth transition. Come back to this. And I ain't going to lie. When I came back, like I say, now it's better. When I came back, Birmingham was 10 times worse than what it was when I left, bro. And then now I'm a, I ain't going to say I'm a grown man, because I'm still a young man trying to figure it out. But I'm more so in the adult standpoint. So the things that used to intrigue me, because I ain't going to lie, bro, I used to love ratchetness. I just hate what come with it. You know what I'm saying? I just hate that what come with it sometimes. But, like, I like to be in that environment. But I'm like, bro, I'm a grown man now. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the grace of an adolescent, a kid, is not the same grace as a man.
No, definitely. You know what I'm saying? And the older you get, man, and the more grown you do get, mm-hmm. man, your fun changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, the stuff I used to do, I don't like doing now.
I don't do it no more.
Yeah, you know, man, like, I used to want to, I bet, I was in the club every Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, man, we're going to make it rain. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to chill and kick it. But then, bro, I ain't going to lie. My CPA hit me up at the end of the year. Oh, you must really love Urban Smoke. What you mean?
Dang, the bank statement don't lie. Bro.
Hey, the bank statement don't lie. So, like, yeah, like, real talk, just from my own experience, I'm like, what you mean? I said, y'all go there from time to time. Oh, yeah, you spent $30,000 last year going to Urban Smoke. You spent another, like, $5,000 going to 3,000 bar. And then you realize, like, bro, like, my spending maturity is terrible.
Yeah.
I got to get a grip on this. I ain't saying don't have fun.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, dog, the way, you know what I'm saying, the way, you know, I'm out every Saturday. And then, like, you know, I ain't going to lie, construction. Most dudes, after they done with the site, we at the happy hour.
Yeah.
We kicking it. We drinking. We having fun. But then you realize, like, bro, I could have done so much other stuff with this money. And then, like, you know, me being 30 now, bro, like, you know, everything, and I'm, like, I'm finna get married, got my fiance, I'm putting a lot more up and I'm investing more, you know, man, for, like, you know, life can be, you know, relatively easier.
Yeah.
I want to be available for bigger real estate deals. Like, you know, we're still going to have fun, but, like, you know, man, I ain't the local joker no more. I ain't finna just hit these spots. And we're going to do something, you know, we can fly out the country, you know, we can fly out of town, kick it. And, like, you know, but, man, like, just hitting every happy hour, Monday to Monday, nah.
And that's something, I ain't even going to speak for all athletes, but that's something inside of my transition that I struggle with, right? Being on the scene. Because, like, the scene got a crowd.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? It got people. It got celebration. You feel me? Like, bro, like, it's almost like, okay, I'm sitting in the section. Put in your order for the bottle. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And everybody just waiting. Like, you know, hey, bro, we got that plate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, hey, when them sparklers come out, boy.
Come on, man.
And they jump, like, and everybody just, you know what I'm saying?
Where it came from?
You know what I'm saying? Right here. Then they got a sign that you can custom make.
For sure.
And they I ain't saying, like, nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's some people's space. But what I'm saying is, like, for people that could look at their banking statements and look at their history and be like, dang, bro, I want more out of life than this $30,000 I just spent on that. Cause,
yeah, for sure.
Shoot, matter of fact, who owns this place? Like, who's who did the groundwork on this? Oh, okay. Matter of fact, what's their stock name?
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Let me invest that $30,000 inside their stock now.
Yeah,
and then, you know what I'm saying? So while people are having fun doing this with their $30,000, I'm investing inside of this. That's fun for me because now I'm 30. Now I got that.
When you spend enough money and lose enough money, dog, like your vision get clearer. Like you're gonna open up your eyes.
Facts.
And especially like you know, like man, like you know, when work gets slower and you gotta have more reserve.
Yeah.
And then as like as workload increase and you gotta have money for like opportunities to jump in. Like man, you gotta be prepared, man. Life is about being prepared and ready for certain situations. And like I said, like you said, man, it's nothing wrong with having a bottle, having the sparkles, having people bringing out the signs. Man, it's nothing wrong with celebrating. Everything is good in moderation because I'm still going to do it. I ain't going to lie to you.
Like, let's get real, bro.
Like, I ain't going to sit right here and be like, oh, yeah, bro, I ain't going to buy no bottles. Crazy. Like, no. One of my dog's birthday coming up, we out of town, wherever we at, it's coming.
Yeah.
It just ain't coming.
Air fried.
Bro. Because, like, let me tell you, like, and this is what I seen. And this is what I really stopped doing. This is what made me grow up. Because at the end of the night, when the club closed, all I got was, appreciate it, big dog. The night was a movie. I'm gone. I'm stuck with the beer.
Yeah.
And you, I'm like, hold on. Ain't nobody got nothing on this? Man, Bobby Humphrey told me something. Man, Bobby Humphrey, man, like, you know, one of my mentors. I ain't gonna lie. I called him one night in the club drunk. I didn't mean to call him.
Yeah.
My phone going off in my pocket. You know, I'm like, my phone calling somebody? I said, it's Bobby. Dang. And I just hung up. He called me back. I had to pick up. I said, hello. He said, Jack, you at the club right now? I said, yeah, man. I'm in here just chilling. He said, man, come have dinner with me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Had dinner with me the next day. And then he asked me how much I'm spending, how much I'm saving, what my credit was. He said, man, you doing good, man. But he said, you literally pissing money down the drain.
Wow, bro.
Like, he said, Jay, you literally, like, all the liquor you drinking, all this, but you pissing money down the drain, bro. And I was thinking, like, bro, you absolutely right, dog. Like, I'm wasting a lot of money on other people's happiness.
Wow.
Because we in here, we was all miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, if we out here 5-7 days a week drinking, mm-hmm. kicking it, yeah. you have a miserable little company.
Yeah.
I need to go heal for real. Because mm-hmm. I ain't doing nothing but just, yeah, I just around because I got this bread. Because mm-hmm. I'm getting the drinks, we kicking it.
Yeah.
But the only real ones is going to be there for you, dog. They can be there for you in the happy times and the sad. But nah, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope, man. I appreciate you, bro, for being here, man. I feel rejuvenated from having the conversation with you. No, bro, for real.
For sure,
and even from your story, like going to homecoming, you know what I'm saying? Me looking at my life and be like, damn, bro, yeah. Like the experience that I had in the club, it was very close to my experience on the field. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's healing, bro, in real time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's always a process. So, I appreciate you for your level of vulnerability. It caused me to look in the mirror, you know what I'm saying, doing this process as well. So, hey, y'all, remember, the culture won't change until we do. It's time to flip the culture. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate it. We're going to see y'all next time, man.
Yeah. Lip the culture anthem.